We continue the shiur in Gemara. Topic we are on is called Ikvasa the Mashiach, which means the time of the era of Mashiach's coming. So as we spoke the last shiur, the Gemara says that during this time, during the period just prior to the coming of Mashiach, a lot of troubles will be set the Jews, but especially there will be battles against the ones who remain, who will have a solid faith, will have Emunah, because the vast majority will fall away from Emunah. And this is something that Rabbeinu Zal warned about. Rabbeinu Zal's words were, I predict and I warn that in the future, just before Mashiach's coming, there will be a flood that will engulf the entire world. It will even include some of the most religious Jews too. They too will be swept up in this flood, a flood of kafira, a flood of atheism, a flood of non-beliefs, dropping the true faith in the Torah. And in this flood, it will even affect those who are religious and some leaders. It's very sad that we see this prevalent today. Rabbeinu Zal said, despite the fact that I'm giving this warning, even though people will be aware of my warning, they will still fall victim to this wave that will overtake the Jewish hearts, penetrate and destroy the faith in their hearts. Very few will remain. But those few fortunate enough to remain with a solid faith, True faith means very clearly, and this we stress uncompromisingly, this we take responsibility for, meaning that I'd like to have this recorded in heaven, these words. The uncompromising of faith means to believe implicitly that every single word of the Torah is the word of Hashem, despite the wave that we see now by so-called experts and learned people who claim to the contrary. We believe Emunah Shlema, the words of the Chachamim Rabbeinu Zal, that every word of the Torah, meaning every word of the Tanakh, every word of the Gemara, is the word of Hashem. It is not man-made, it is authored by Hashem himself. The Gemara and all the different facets of the Torah Shebal Peh are the words of Hashem, revealed to the rabbis, but also revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the first item. The second item that the Nosson Zal says, stressing this again very strongly, very much contrary to the Apikursus that is being spread about today. Nosson Zal says, the Yesod of Emunah, the foundation of our Emunah, is to believe in two words, Chiddush Olam, that this world is a new world, it never existed before. The age of this world is right now 5,735 years, approximately close to that date, just a few months off from being exact. And before, prior to 5,735 years ago, there was no world. There were no heavens, there were no planets, it was only Hashem. There was never a world before this. Again, there are Sfarim who discuss this topic about Chiddush Olam. Is this the first world? Is it a new one? Nosson Zal says this is the Yesod Emunah. A person cannot be classified as a Baal Emunah, as a believer, unless he believes in this firmly. So that any person who believes Chas V'Shalom in the folly, farce of fossils, Stone Age items that existed a million years ago, or a trillion years ago, or a zillion years ago, all that is childish and destructive and fatal. Fatal to a person's true Emunah. This is the Yesod of Emunah. Of course, as we have learned too, the Yesod of Emunah also includes believing in the coming of Mashiach and in the Tchiyas HaMeisim, and of course in the Osed Lovay, life after Tchiyas HaMeisim. Rabbi Nizal says that there will come a time when people, as the Gemara says here too, that there will be such a conflict against those who have this kind of emunah. If you walk outside and say you believe in Chiddush Olam, they look at you as though you were as though your mind was affected. You're a fanatic. How do you believe in such strange things? That's today, even among some of the religious circles. Ben Adel says there'll come a time when a person who will be religious will be considered a Chiddush, an unusual case. Unusual, like the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov was one of the greatest tzaddikim of all time, really unusual, out of the ordinary, one of the few outstanding tzaddikim of all time in the history of this world. A person who will be religious, to what extent? Just even to washing his hands before bread, washing his hands in the morning, who is consistent about it, will be looked upon as a strange person, what they might call today old-fashioned. But this is the condition, the status of the world just before Mashiach's coming. That's what the Gemara warns against. That's what the Avodah Zarah predicted and warned about. Imagine how fortunate will be those few who will maintain their faith strictly, will be zochah to live up to the true faith, be able to face Mashiach and say, I believed, I held out, I won out against the seemingly insurmountable odds, against such powerful opposition, against apparent, alleged leaders of the Jews, against leading writers in the literary field who wrote in opposition to this faith. I held out, I believed, and I see now that Baruch Hashem, I was right. This statement, fortunate to those, will be zochah to make this when Mashiach comes. Now the Gemara goes further. We're going to delve into a little depth, very interesting topic, in discussing the world. In fact, strengthening what we just said about the union of Emunah Chiddush Olam. The Gemara says very clearly that this world is created to last exactly 6,000 years. At the end of 6,000 years, the world will come to an end, world as is. 6,000 years corresponding to the 6 days of creation, 1,000 years for a day, because we find a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, Ki'elach Shonen Beinecha Kiyom, that the heavenly record, 1,000 years, is as a day. And of course, there are some people who misinterpret this, Rahmanul Islam. May we be spared from this sheker, falsehood, and kafira too, who say that Hashem, in the eyes of Hashem, 1,000 years is like a day. This is the grossest misstatement possible, because in the eyes of Hashem, there is no time. Hashem is not guided by time. Hashem created time. Hashem governs time. So there's no such thing as time by Hashem. Everything is before Hashem. Past, present, and future are created by Hashem. They're all in the present. This is a term used, a heavenly term. 1,000 years is like a day, referring to a larger picture of creation. And therefore, just as Hashem created the world in 6 days of creation, 7th day was the day of Shabbos, day of rest. That's how Hashem created the world itself to last for exactly 6,000 years. Then it'll become destroyed. Destroyed means it will stop functioning as we have it today. It will be a world of complete rest. There'll be no more of these wars, battles, suffering, and so on. Which means, stress, point, means that it is impossible for Mashiach to come later than the year 5,960. That will be the latest possible. We do not say Chas Hashem will come that year. Of course, it will come much before. But the physical possibility is no later than that. Of course, 40 years after Mashiach's coming is Tchias HaMesim, which means that the year 6000 would be the last time possible for that to occur. Hence, have a picture, clear picture of the extent, purpose in this world's creation. Now this is a famous statement, and it's brought a few times in the Gemara. It is very well known. There is a note mentioned in the Sefer Medrash where there is a strange statement made. And of course, we cannot take that statement literally. It's just to mention it as a chiddush. Teda Tmima brings it. Medrash Reisius Rabbi Akiva, where it says that the Teda was written, started with the letter Beis. Beis means two. The world was created with the Beis to show that this world will be destroyed twice. Once at the time of the Mabul, the world came to an end, a new world, not literally a new world, but a renewal of this world had to take place. Same thing too, the second time will be at the year 6093. That's the statement there. It's the only place ever where that number is found, 6093. Why the 93? This is a mystery. I'm just mentioning it as a chiddush. It's a very unusual statement. But of course, as fact, we must take the Gemara's word that is found so often, the Gemara elsewhere, the Teda, there's 6,000, not 6,093. Now, let's analyze this further as the Gemara gives us this figure broken down. The Gemara tells us that Hashem created the world to last for 6,000 years. These 6,000 years will be divided into three parts, 2,000 years each. First 2,000 years are called the 2,000 years of vacuum, emptiness. Tohu. Emptiness and vacuum because there will be no Teda in the world. The world cannot exist without Teda. As the Gemara itself says, creation, we have the Pesukim Vayir Vayivokeh, was evening and morning, one day, 2 days, so forth. We come to the 6 days, it says Vayivokeh Yom Hashishi. Then we have the letter He, Yom Hashishi, not Yom Shishi, but Yom Hashishi, the sixth day. The Gemara says, what does this mean to teach us? The sixth day of Sivan. That's when the creation really takes place, which means that the world was not really existing, could not exist until the sixth day of Sivan, which is Shavuos, the Torah was given to the world. Then only could the world really exist. Until then, the world was tentative. All creation was tentative, a large question mark about it as to its existence in general. So we see that the world without Teda is an empty vacuum. And therefore, the first 2,000 years, when there was no Teda on earth, is called 2,000 years of Tohu, of emptiness. From 2,000 to 4,000, those 2,000 years are called the 2,000 years of Teda. Of course, this requires an explanation, because Shavuos was not at the year 2000. It was much later. Why does the Gemara say that the year 2000 begins the era of Teda? Three eras. One, 2,000 years of emptiness. The second, 2,000 years of Teda. The third, 2,000 years of Moshiach. These are the three divisions. But why does the Gemara say 2,000 years of Teda when Matan Teda did not take place at the year 2000? And the Gemara explains this to mean that we consider, though of course Teda was learned, the world cannot exist without Teda. Adam HaRishon studied Teda as well and as deeply as the greatest of men and as the greatest of angels. In fact, even the angels came to him to learn the depths of the secrets of Teda, the deepest secrets of Teda, taught by Adam HaRishon. In turn, he taught this to his son Shais. In turn, this was passed down to the great tzaddikim at that time, Chanoch, Mesushelach, finally Noach, his tzaddik, he gave it on to his son Shem, till came to the yeshiva of Shem, Aver, taught this Torah to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov Avinu. So why do we say there was no Torah in the first 2,000 years when you had these great tzaddikim living and it was studied Torah? The answer the Gemara says is that the studying of Torah itself is not sufficient. In Torah we have lumed to learn, or lamed and to teach. The world cannot exist by individuals sitting and learning. There must be ones who go out to teach Torah, to spread the light of Torah to others. Until the time of Avraham Avinu, there was no one to spread the light of Torah, to spread the emunah, the faith in the Torah. Avraham Avinu was the first one. So we take the calendar chronologically. This is very important to remember. If you don't remember it, you'll have the benefit of the tapes to go back to refer to. This is one advantage of the tape. Adam Anisha was born on the first day, year one. The first day when we count the calendar. Of course, sixth day of creation. Sixth day of creation we call Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishrei. Adam Anisha was created. The world was created. First day was 25th day of the month of Elul. And of course he went through Machlokes Lezer and Yishmael as far as the Tishrei or Nisan. This is not the time for it. Now, 1,056 years later we have the next important event, the birth of Noach. It's 10 generations later. Noach born in the year 1,056. Shem born 502 years later, the year 1,558. Avraham Avinu in the year 1948. Now, since he was born in the year 1948, at the year 2000, Avraham Avinu was 52 years old. At that point, the Gemara says, when he was 52 years old, that's when the world began to live. Because at that age was the time when Avraham Avinu began to teach Torah. The pasuk in the Chumash which says, "V'es hanefesh asher osu b'choron," the souls that Avraham Avinu created in the city of Choron. Avraham created these souls. How did he create souls? The answer is he taught faith and Torah to them. This was the beginning of teaching of Torah. He was 52 years old at that time, and that's why this is when the era of Torah began. This was at the year 2000. The year 2000, the world began to live. A new era opened up, the era of Torah. The year 2048, Yitzhak Avinu was born. Yaakov Avinu was born 60 years later. The year 2108. Next important event was Matan Torah. Year which the Torah was given is the year 2448. Now from there we come to the date of the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. This too is included in that era, the 2000 year era of Torah, because Kimitziyon Teitzei Seder, from the Beis HaMikdash came forth Torah, the Sanhedrin sat in the front office, Lishkas Hagozis, in the Beis HaMikdash. They gave forth, they rendered decisions in Torah. That's why this was the rich time. And then of course you had the era of the Sanhedrin, the Tanoim, who came afterwards, all within this 2000 year period. The first Beis HaMikdash existed from the year 2928 to the year 3338, 410 years. There was then a Golus. They were driven out when it was destroyed. 70-year Golus until the year 3408, when the second Beis HaMikdash was built and stood from the year 3408 till the year 3828, and then it was destroyed. Note, this Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the year 3828, 172 years before the year 4000, when the new last era began. 172 years, it's Ekev, that's the beginning and the end, they have the same word. Ikrasa de Mashiach, Ekev, the steps, the moment before Mashiach ability to come, and the time when Mashiach does come. Now, in other words, in those 172 years, Mashiach could not come yet. It was not the era of his coming. So when should he have come? When could he come? At the year 4000. Here the Gemara says, the third era is 2000 years of Mashiach's coming. In the year 4000 to the year 6000, Ayamaisa Mashiach. And these years, meaning that Mashiach had come at any time within those 2000 years, depending upon a number of deciding factors, which we will come to eventually. Now, to discuss the major points about this, the Gemara says that because of our sins, because of our many sins, we have lost a good portion of those 2,000 years. Mashiach should have come, could have come in the year 4,000 on, and look at how many years have passed since then. The Gemara says it. The rabbis of the Gemara, who lived after the year 4,000, shortly afterwards, and they said, what a pity it is, what is being said, what was said by the subsequent generations, what could we say today? The Gemara goes on now, further, to say, try to keep track of these figures. We're not going to go into any more mathematics, but this the, well, not much, that is. The Gemara says another statement, that Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rav Yehuda, I'll give you some information about the calendar as far as Mashiach's coming. This world cannot exist less meaning until Mashiach comes, less than 85 Yovels. A Yovel is a 50-year span. In other words, seven times Shemitah, seven times a seven-year cycle, 49, the 50th year is Yovel. This world must exist not less than 85 Yovels. 85 times 50 is 4,250. And at the end of this Yovel, Mashiach should come. Mashiach will come. Which means at the year 4,250, Mashiach will come. This was said by Eliyahu HaNavi. The end or the beginning, the Gemara says he did not reply to that. In fact, he was asked, the end of the beginning, the other he said, I do not know whether it's the end or the beginning, but it's definitely in that Yovel, which means 4,250, and that's it. Then the Gemara says, of course, later than that, the later rabbis, the Maimon of the Gemara, looked later than that, said that to make the date clearer, note there are conflicting dates we have now. This is a statement by Eliyahu HaNavi. Another rabbi says that they found a parchment, a Megillah scroll. On the scroll it says that after 4,291 years after the creation of the world will become an orphan, which means the world will come to an end. The Gemara amends this to read, after 5,291 years, the world will come to an end, meaning Mashiach will come. We use that term too. Note that number, 5,291. Now, we already have over 1,000 years past the date of Eliyahu HaNavi, who said 4,250. As far as these dates are concerned, the Gemara later on says that the person is not allowed to predict dates. Could it be that any of these rabbis made an error? Or Eliyahu HaNavi made an error? We have other dates, which we'll find later too. Dates in the Zayde Kodesh. Zayde Kodesh says, Kibbe Zeus, Yavai Adano HaKodesh. Guaranteed in the year Zeus. Zeus is 408. 5,408. That year, Aaron HaKohen will go back into the Beis HaMikdash to serve. Guaranteed. There's a pasuk in the Torah for it. We have different dates in the Zayde Kodesh itself. The year 5,600 says two pretty clearly. What happened to all these dates that have passed? Mashiach has not come. Were they not telling the truth, Chas V'Shalom? The answer is, this is stressed by all the Mefarshim, Reb Nachman Zal especially, says that every one of these dates is true. Every one of these dates is 100% true. Mashiach was scheduled to come. Each one of those dates, it was a scheduled date. But that scheduled date, we lost. We had done a little bit on our part to come closer to Hashem. A little bit of effort on our part to at least meet Mashiach halfway. My Koch of Leizah once told me in a very special private interview, and I asked him, where is Mashiach? Why isn't he coming? Why isn't he here? And I believe I said that you know. He didn't deny it. Very interestingly. I said, if so, why isn't Mashiach here? And when is he coming? And don't say he's coming today if you do tshuva. The Gemara says, when is he coming today if you do tshuva? We'll find later a story like that. So I said, could you tell me exactly? The Koch Leizal said, yes, he's coming now. And I said, very respectfully, I appreciate not joking about this matter. I'm very serious, because when I say I want to see him, I mean it. He said, I assure you, I also want to see him, just as much. I assure you, I'm very serious. All these dates in the Gemara are due to the same reason. When is Mashiach coming? Right now. He's not waiting, he's coming. He's on the way. And he's coming towards us. If we would at least stop doing wrong, stop committing these sins, pause, don't become tzaddikim, just pause and stop doing what you're doing. And wait here, Mashiach will come to us. The trouble is we don't stand in one place. We keep receding, retreating. We keep going backwards. He's trying to catch us on our way down. He cannot catch up to us. So every one of these dates in the Gemara is a true one. On this date that everyone said Mashiach was scheduled to come, if we did not deserve it then, he tried to get us then, he could not, because we did not deserve it, we were given another chance, a later date. In these subsequent later dates, again, we failed to deserve his coming, so that all these dates, of course, are prior to the real scheduled date, which is a secret. That we'll discuss later on, a secret which Hashem did not reveal to most tzaddikim, to most. So in other words, very simply, very simple answer, all these dates are true. No one is telling a falsehood. Every one of these words are correct. All these were truly scheduled times for Mashiach to come. Mashiach could have come on these dates, should have come. The Jews were not deserving yet. Let's go one step further. Note this last statement in the Gemara. Note this very carefully. The Gemara said that Mashiach will come in the year 5291. We have two statements in the Zohar Kodesh. I'd like to get this very clear, really put out. Understand this very carefully. One written in the Zohar Kodesh, the other in the Tikkuni Zohar. Zohar Kodesh says the difference between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second. The first one was destroyed, Al Gimel Pesha Yisrael. Three major sins that the Jews committed. They broke all the laws, the three major laws, the laws of belief in Hashem, which means they turned to idol worship, they committed murders, and infidelity. For these sins, the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed, the Jews had to go out in Golus. Now, this constituted a transgression against all of creation, which means the 7 days of the week. They had to be punished for the 7 days of the week. That's why in the Techacha it says, I will punish you sheva al chateisechem, 7 times for your sins, the 7 days of the week. We find too that Hashem punishes Yom Lashono, which means 7 years. So when he says that he punished 7 years, of course we know that basically everything is guided by, is judged by, encompasses the 10 spheros. Therefore the 7 years times the each one of the 10 spheros is 70. This is Zohar Kodesh, is the reason for the 70 years of the first Golus. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam, unreasonable dislike, disrespect one for another, and this was in parallel two, the Sinas Chinam, that the brothers of Yosef held against Yosef HaTzadik. Their actions against him with Sinas Chinam, unreasonable dislike, which brought about the as a pitiful, tragic action on their part. And this came out, manifested itself in the Sinas Chinam of the second Beis HaMikdash. And here again we have the seven times, for the 22 years, this is punishment for the 22 years in which Yosef HaTzadik was made absent from his father. He could not see his father for 22 years. This suffering was now punished. This 7 times 22 is, of course, also, the Zohar Kodesh says, for the fact that Sinas Chinam goes completely against the grain of the Torah. The Torah is called 22 letters of the Torah. 7 times 22 we have 154. And times the 10 Sfidas, you now have 1,540. Which means that the extent of the Golos of the second Beis HaMikdash is 1,540 years will have to pass in that 2,000 year era of Mashiach's coming. Mashiach can come from the year 4,000 on, which means the arrival of Mashiach should be in the year 5,540. 5,540 is a very important date, because that was the date of the revelation, partially, but Abinazal, who was born 5,531 or 32, this is brought in this form, and who said clearly that he is a descendant of King David, he represents Mashiach. That is one item to strengthen that point. Second, Tikkun Isaiah says, speaking about the coming of Mashiach, Tikkun Isaiah says that this statement must be read a little more deeply. The Gemara says 5,291, the Zohar Kodesh says it's a different message there, a hidden message. It means not the year 291, but 291 cycles. We judge the calendar, we conduct ourselves according to the calendar, known as the lunar calendar. The lunar cycles are cycles of 19 years each. 19 years for the lunar cycle, that's why we have our years are guided by them, this lunar cycle. We have Ibur, leap years. In this lunar cycle we have 7 years out of every 19. Complete lunar cycle, the moon cycle, is 19 years, and the leap years of these, every 19, from 1 to 19, always leap years are the 3rd, 6th, 8th, 11th, 14th, 17th, and 19th year of this 19-year cycle. The calendar itself runs along these 19-year cycles. The Zohar Kodesh says, there's a pasuk, Titein Emes LeYaakov. Yaakov means to the Jews. Titein will receive the Emes. Emes stands for, letters are Aleph. Aleph, 1. Mem is Masayim, the toughest Tishim. Aleph Masayim Tishim is 291. 291 cycles for the coming of Mashiach. 291 times 19 will save you calculations. It's 5,529. Which means in that year, 5529, at the end of that year, Mashiach should come. The Zohar Kodesh is further. We have another one. Pasuk, Ladas Ba'aretz Darkecha. Aretz, again, is Aleph, 1, Reish Tzadik, 290, 291. 291, again, proof is that we have a Pasuk combining these two. We said Emes is 291. Aretz 291, the Pasuk Emes Me'aretz, these two together, proof, 291 times a cycle, Emes Me'aretz Titzmach. The first letters of those three words are emes, the truth of the statement. Titzmach means, tough means there will come, tzemach. Tzemach is the name of Mashiach. Mashiach means the anointed one. His name is Menachem, Gematria Tzemach. At that time, Mashiach will come. Tikkun Isaiah says strangely, not strangely, but adds to this, Now we do have a pasuk which says, "Kolev Hashem lechol kariyov, chayel asher yikidehu be'emes." There's a beis added to emes. Odas bo oritz darkecha. What is this beis? It must be additional two added on. This two, of course, is a strange item, and here it becomes obvious because 291 times 19, you have 5529. You must have that be'emes because two more years was the birth of Rabbeinu Zal. So we have solved there, direct, solid, irrefutable proof. Rabbeinu Zal was, as claimed, the born Moshiach, a tzaddik emes. We still were not zeicher, not privileged to have the coming of Mashiach revealed to the world. There was that much darkness, that much machlekes war against this revelation. To this day, of course, the darkness still prevails, except for those few who are zeicher to accept this light. Ashrei to those who accept it. Now, so we see here that there are the different figures, different numbers given. According to the Gemara, we said the year 5,291. According to the Zohar Kodesh, the 291 represent the cycles, and therefore 5,531, or the additional one cycle, 292, as the Zohar Kodesh says, if we consider an additional cycle for Bo'oretz, would be 5,548. As the Bila Kutum says, that's the year which Rabbeinu Zal was actually revealed and he started to teach. Now again, it would bring out, we carry out this point. The fact is that it's up to every Jew as an individual to be zecher, to see to it, and that at least on his part, there should be no delay of Mashiach's coming. At least the person's conscience should be clear. Mashiach has not come until now because of the sins of individuals. Each person, he should not be one of those who cause this delay. And of course, he should maintain his faith unswervingly, unwavering faith that Mashiach is coming, will come, and when? Now. It is possible at every single moment that suddenly Mashiach will appear. How embarrassing it is would be for those whose faith was gone, who had lost their faith, chas v'shalom. This, we once mentioned the story that Rabbeinu Zal told. It's a lengthy story, it's a story fit for Pesach, known as the story of the Moror. You recall, very briefly, the case of a couple of soldiers in the Russian army. One was a Jew, the other was lahavdil a Russian. It was customary that they would leave for vacation on their holidays. The Jew would leave on Pesach, the Russian, the guy, would leave on his holiday, but this guy had no place to go to, and so the Jew advised him to go to the home of, pretend he is Jewish, go to the house of a rabbi on the night of Pesach for the Seder. They'll have a wonderful Pesach Seder, wonderful meal. The guy went there, and again, very briefly, he sat down at the Seder. He was invited in, thinking he was a Jew. He sat down at the Seder table, not knowing what to expect. When he saw them distribute, at first, a glass of wine to each person, he drank the wine. It was very distasteful because he had fasted all day, believing in the promise he'd have a wonderful meal. On an empty stomach, a glass of wine was not too wholesome. But he figured it was worth going through the strange Jewish ritual to get that meal he'd been promised. After the glass of wine, he watched carefully and saw that the head of the table, the rabbi, distributed a small piece of vegetable, karpas. He can barely make out what it was, and this, for his empty stomach, certainly served no purpose. Then, he very impatiently, very frustratingly watched the way the entire brood of Rabbi's children, one after the other, recited the Manish Tana, not knowing what they were talking about, but to him it was torture having to wait that long. He could have destroyed them with his looks, but he had to have patience. He went through it all until the Rabbi read through the Haggadah, couple of hours passed, and finally they put their garters aside, and they washed, and the rabbi distributed what looked like maybe food. It turned out to be something like very hard cardboard. The Shmura matzah to him, who certainly had no taste at all, he'd never eaten anything like it, he had to chew this down, and then he figured that his patience was coming to an end, but he'll still wait a little. Of course, first he had the second cup of wine, that goes without saying. Now at this point, he figured, I'll give them one last chance. If I get the meal now, good. If not, then out. At this point, he was asked to open his palm. The rabbi slammed something down on it, put it in his mouth quickly. This was the maror. He swallowed that chunk of maror. This was fresh horseradish. He caught fire inside and outside. He jumped up, ran out of the door, slammed the door, and ran back to the base and stood there waiting for the next few days, burning for revenge against this Jew who had misled himself. When his Jewish friend came back, he saw murder in the eyes of this Russian and asked him, how do you enjoy the meal? That was the opening question. It could have been his last question. And of course, he saw the reaction on the part of this guy. He said, well, describe what happened, because I know what should have happened. He told him what happened, and then he said how he ran out after the maror. The Jew said, Ivan, dummy. He's Russian dummy, as usually. If you had waited 1 second more, 1 minute more, right after the maror, you would have the Shulchan Aruch. Korach, of course, Shulchan Aruch. You have had that big meal I promised you. You didn't have patience. You went so far till the maror. Benedel says this lesson teaches us that there are people, imagine Jews who hold out years of persecution, years of suffering, years of being dominated by the goyim, years of shedding blood, seeing past generations of sacrifices made by Jews, and they see that all to no avail, getting darker and worse. We keep going downhill. Instead of having one enemy, we have two and ten, and now it's over 100 in the United Nations, Yimach Shemam Zachon. And it keeps getting darker and darker. And there are many Jews now, when they see this, they give up. Give up hope and they fall away. These fools do not realize that all this is predicted by the Navi. Navi Yishayahu Navi says, V'hoyoli eis erev yihye or. Know that when it comes evening, when it turns dark, at the darkest moment, at the seemingly pitch black second, that's when the bright light, bright glare of sunlight will come, which will reveal the coming of Mashiach, the end to all this suffering and darkness. We have to know that at this moment of Moro, the bitterest and darkest moment, that's when we are tested with our faith. And those people who hold out at a time like this, their faith remains steadfast, stalwart. This is what the Ben Ezel said. The world will be shaken at the time Mashiach comes, as you shake out a blanket or a sheet to get rid of any dust on it. The whole world will tremble like an earthquake. In trembling, all those who are weak will lose their grasp and will fall away from the world, will be destroyed. It's only those who have a tight hold on the Tzaddik Emes, those who strengthen themselves with true Emunah, they will remain attached, and they'll be zechut to see what happens after this earthquake, after this tremor, with the coming of Mashiach, the true simcha and seeing the Yeshua Klolius. All this suffering will come to an end. The Jews will finally be able to return in victory and in glory to Eretz Yisrael, land of Israel, the land of Hashem, guided and governed by the Tzedak Desha, with only Hashem as the King of the entire universe, the day when Hashem will be Echad Ushmei Echad, this day with the coming of Mashiach, the Ben Yabes Mikdash, Amen, Amen, Amen.